Welcome in, folks, to Games Galore 33. I'm your host, Brian Edwards, Harbo and I in the house Thursday around 6.05 p.m. Eastern, February 8th. All kind of breaking news today. LeBron has pulled his master diva act and basically traded half the team after his buzzer beater last night. We've got developments in Albuquerque. Coach Bob Davey suspended, but for odd reasons that we'll get into. And I've always wanted New Mexico to win since Bob Davey's been there, because I never, ever, 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 ever want to have to listen to him doing an ESPN2 SEC game at 9 o'clock at night and it be the Gators. So he's the worst analyst in television, so I want him coaching, but he's suspended. So even if he ends up getting fired for this, maybe he won't go back to ESPN. So, Jimmy Garoppolo, the highest paid player in NFL history, and he's only got 7 starts. Is he worth it? I kind of think so. I mean, he went 5-0 for the Niners, who were, 1-10, I believe? Yeah, they were 1-10 when he got there. He went 5-0 with them. This is not, you know, Dan Marino blowing his Achilles, Scott Mitchell playing decent for half the year, and then the Detroit Lions giving him a huge contract off of just whatever, like 6 or 7 games. No, this guy's legit. I mean, he's been tutored under Brady and Josh McDaniels, who we'll get to in a minute. And then he just had 5 starts for a dog shit team. And instead of being dog shit, all of a sudden, I saw at the end of the regular season, they were number 12 in somebody's Vegas rankings. Obviously, they weren't going to the playoffs. But so Isaiah Thomas gets shipped to the Lakers. D-Wade sent. So much for loyalty for D-Wade from La Diva James. They get rid of Jay Crowder. They get rid of Shumpert. They get rid of Channing Frye. And what did they get back? They got back Rodney Hood, a offense-first professional scorer, southpaw jumper. Who else did they get back? They got back, I need to just go to the Woj Twitter account is what I really need to do.
So how many people did they trade off?
6, which is basically half the roster.
Right.
Okay, they got Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. Now Clarkson, I think he averages 14.5 points per game, but these are offense-first guys. I mean, Rodney Hood is an offense-first guy. I mean, I just don't think any of this is going to work. Tyreek Evans stays with the Grizzlies, even though they've been sent him home like a week ago. Nobody would come off a first-round pick. I am just going to go to Woj's Twitter account. Josh McDaniels, how about that? Now, I know about, and even all of you may have seen the 30 for 30 recently about the Bills, the two Bills, Belichick and, there's Josh Pastner stuff going on as well. There's all kind of, what a sports news day. Crazy, crazy stuff. But, back to the two Bills. So, you know, Belichick was going to take over for Parcells with the Jets, but Parcells was going to go upstairs. And Belichick was named the head coach when Parcells resigned. And then a day later, he resigned. And he did so. And they were explaining it on the 30 for 30, the two Bills. I think there was some kind of Belichick couldn't go to the Patriots right away. I forget what the it was some contractual thing. But anyway, he eventually went to the Patriots. And so that's the only time I can remember an NFL head coach like taking a job and then saying, oh, I changed my mind. Now, we've seen it in college basketball a million times. Bobby Kremins to South Carolina, where he was an alum. He's literally driving from Atlanta to South Carolina, and halfway into the drive, him and his wife decided to turn around and go back to Tech. Billy Donovan with the Magic came back to Florida. Jim Herrick did multiple U-turns on Rhode Island and Georgia. Dana Altman left Creighton for Arkansas, and then went back, and then he eventually got the Oregon job a couple years later. I even think douchebag Dan Dockich did that with, where was he? And he went to West Virginia for a minute and turned back, but he was like at a mid-major. I'm not even remembering. Maybe Bowling Green, maybe? Nah, I'm not sure. But God, he's such a douchebag. Thank God I haven't had to listen to any of his games all week. By the way, your boys hurt me the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah, against Northwestern.
I saw that.
Yeah, let's pick them.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I loved y'all. I mean, I it was my only loss of the night, but I had a 3-game parlay. If y'all had hit, well, it was the early game, so it was dead early, but... What a comeback by Boise State the other night. That hooked me up. I tweeted out they should take them at halftime. They were down 11, minus 3. I gave out some other in-game and second-half tweet winners the past couple of nights as I've been locked in since Super Sunday.
It was a rough day.
It was a rough day. I got my ass kicked.
Fun to watch, but not.
Oh, great game to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, really fun if you were on the over. Gosh. There was really the Malcolm Butler thing, you know, nobody knew that was coming. That's the best, DB for the Patriots, and he didn't play it down, but yet they dressed him out. That was just really weird, really weird. All right. So we're just going to be jumping all over the place. So, and I'm going
to, yeah, it's a big day. Where should we start?
We're not going to start anywhere. I'm just going to, yeah, we have no guest. We're doing a fairly short show.
Freestyle.
Two segments. Freestyle. That's right. So the Clippers did not trade DeAndre. Orlando traded Elfrid Payton from UL Lafayette. UL Lafayette's a short favorite at Georgia Southern. I did not take them. But oh, and by the way, if because Harbaugh will have this up before the late games are on, I should go ahead and get it to my picks here at the start, so you'll have a shot at getting them in if you like. 9 p.m. Eastern tip. The Montana Grizzlies, they're undefeated in the Big Sky, 11-0 record. One of the best teams in the nation for our purposes, 15-5-1 against the spread. This is how nasty they are at home. 9-0 straight up, 6-0 against the spread. 8 of their 9 wins by 11 points or more. The 9th win was by 9. The spread tonight is 8. Portland State, they've been without their leading scorer and best player, Deontay North, for the last 3 games due to a suspension. And I'm not on top of Big Sky disciplinary matters, but he's listed questionable on every injury report I looked at. That's on Vegas Insider, Don Best, Covers, etc. Excuse me. So anyway, Montana Grizzlies, 9 p.m. Eastern tip, minus 8. I like Montana. My favorite game, though, is Washington at Oregon. Washington has been dynamite as an underdog this year. 7-3-1 against the spread. 6 outright wins. They've won 4 in a row, both straight up and against the spread. They're number 33 in the RPI. 4-2 record against RPI top 50. Oregon, on the other hand, number 85 in the RPI. 1-4 against RPI top 50. I think UW is going to win outright tonight. Get a little taste of the money line around plus 280, but for less. And I like the Dukies tonight. I hate rooting for them. Not that I love North Carolina by any means or anybody on Tobacco Road. I like the people, just don't like the teams. But I Duke's just better. They're better than Carolina, even though it's at Carolina. And I like Duke at minus 1.5 early this morning, and it had moved to plus 1.5, plus 2 around lunch. And let me look now and see what we got. North Carolina is 1.5 total in the 167. There's some 167.5s out there. I like the Dukies. Bounce back mode. They lose at MSG and NYC to the Johnnies, which, you know, look bad because St. John's was 0-11 in Big East play. But it doesn't look nearly as bad after 3 top 10 teams go down last night. Villanova, the Uno, being one of them, as St. John's beats Duke and top-ranked Villanova on the road in Philly as a 16-point underdog last night. Impressive work by Chris Mullen and company. They've been trying to run him out of there, but these two wins. And look, they lost, his dad announced he wasn't coming. Lovett, Marcus Lovett. Where's my basketball mag? Anyhow, and then Shamori Ponds, who played so well at crunch time against Duke, he had missed a couple of games during their 0-11 Big East run, and they covered a lot of those games. So when people just, you know, you're watching SportsCenter, you're not a diehard college hoops fan, you just hear 0-11 in the Big East, that's a tad misleading. I mean, I'm not trying to paint it pretty, but they're not bad, and they proved that last night beating Villanova. All right, I got to pull this Bob Davies shit up because I can't stand this dude. And what has he done? He's been suspended by UNM. And speaking of UNM, what a cheap shot that was the other night from that kid at the end of the Boise's crazy comeback from a six-point deficit with less than a minute left. Joe Furstinger. Marcus Dickinson got the rebound for Boise State. If you miss this, you can go do a Twitter search for Joe Furstinger. And you know, there's a lot of little video clips. The time was about to run out, so obviously he wants to foul real fast, but that's not what this guy was doing. He was frustrated they were going to get beat. He completely, with a running start, lunged at the guy's throat. Okay, I mean, there's fouling on purpose to stop the clock. There's lunging with, you know, his hands, like you're punching him in the throat almost. He only got suspended one game. I would have been fine if he got suspended two. And also look up, or here, I'll show it to you, Harbo.
I was just going to, this is, I got a Davies quote for you when you're ready.
Oh, no, I'll get it right now.
Okay, so he was suspended for, it sounds like he was trying to
cover up some sexual assault type deal?
Yeah, or interrupt the process. And witnesses said that Davies had an all-team meeting and, quote, told them to get some dirt on this whore.
Get out of here. He's done. He is done.
You know, that's supposedly.
He's done. Or they already suspended him.
Right. But
oh, my gosh. First off, that is horrible.
Right.
Second off, in the wake of this Michigan State stuff and in the midst of the Me Too movement,
he's done.
He's done.
Yeah.
He's done forever. He'll never coach again. And hopefully he'll never be back at ESPN. Oh boy. Now we've got new stuff on, man, what a sports day. Trey Wallace, our guy, who we had on too briefly because of the Tennessee press conference that was going down that day. Okay, Wall Street Journal story. FBI agent and basketball corruption probe is accused of misconduct. Oh, Ricky Pitino, this is not going to get you out of any trouble, you douchebag. By the way, Richard Pitino was losing his mind while I was winning money on Nebraska against him. By the way, hat tip to the Cornhuskers, 13-1 against the spread their last 14. So wait, an undercover agent in this college basketball corruption case is being, oh, this is going to be, including the corruption allegations last fall had wide-ranging reverberations. I can't read to the audience. It just doesn't sound good. It's
just in the fire. So somebody's in trouble on the other side.
Right, right, right. But that ain't helping you, Rick. That's not helping you. Yeah, Richard Pitino is going to be gone at Minnesota. Mark Fox, my man. Georgia's just there in the shitter, man. He's going to get fired. They got housed at Vandy the other night. And props to Bryce Drew. They started Vandy 1-14 against the spread. Worst ATS team in America. Now they're 5-1 against the spread their last six. And the only non-cover was Saturday at Auburn. They lose by 12 as an 11.5-point dog. But they had opened at 13.5 Friday afternoon. So if you got a good number early, it could be six straight spread covers for Vandy. Okay, so have you seen what Nate and Dana and T. Wood have been saying this week by chance, Harbo?
I read a little bit about it earlier.
Yeah, so Woodley was putting it out there, and then my guy Brett Okamoto of ESPN.com, who I've hung out with at the Vegas seminar a couple times, good dude, he got up with Nate, was it yesterday, I think, and, you know, did a story, had a bunch of quotes from Nate, and Nate's going, yeah, you know, I think Tyrone Woodley is the best fit, you know, the best fit for me. And look, right. You know, Woodley wants it because he'll make a lot more money fighting Nate than he will RDA. But Dos Anjos can't get, I mean, you can't give Nate, he's, what is he, 3-3 in the welterweight division in his life? And Dos Anjos just crushed him like 2-3 years ago.
Right.
Destroyed him. And, I mean, it was, he had him limping like from leg kicks like midway through the first round. And, so anyway, Dos Anjos is going to fight Woodley. Dana actually said on Fox Sports 1 last night, on UFC Tonight, he said that T. Wood is full of shit.
Right.
And T. Wood said, I'm full of shit? Or DW is full of shit, being Dana White. And right. And Dana White's been full of shit plenty of times, too. So, touche. Touche.
You think we're going to see a little rematch in the octagon?
Connor and Nate 3?
No.
Which rematch?
Mayweather.
Oh, right.
I guess it would be not
Mayweather. No, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, we were talking about it off the air and I hadn't got to it yet. So, I mean, from what I read earlier, they feel like they can make more money doing it the UFC version. And you know what? I bet they can because people want to see Mayweather get his ass beat. And Mayweather has lost his mind if he gets in the octagon with Conor.
Well, I will say, I don't know what, I maybe it was Games Galore 1 or 2, but I remember saying, you know, there's no way Conor's going to box McGregor.
Right.
And it happened.
Right. And before we went on the air, I said he would be just a moron to do that. And you said he's been hit in the head quite a few times. And I said, but he hasn't been hit in the head with elbows or knees.
Right.
Or feet, or whatever else, because, and I also said, Connor would torture him in an octagon. Like, he would not finish him fast. He would, like, he would, like, wrap up an arm bar, and before he tap, he'd, like, let him go.
Yeah.
He would just toy with him.
I mean, people do dumb things for a lot of money.
Right. I mean, look, I mean...
Plus, if you think, like, I mean, obviously McGregor had huge fan base, but, and I think the boxing world was kind of like, you know, snubbed their nose at it, and it was a huge event and drew a bunch, but I feel like a rematch in the Octagon, it's just so much money that I think it's bound to happen.
Wow. But, God, at that point, though, it's just like, hey, Connor, you going to fight any mixed martial artist?
Right.
Because really, okay, he beat Alvarez. He got his ass beat by Nate, and then it was a toss-up with Nate.
And what would that even be? Just like an exhibition fight? Like, what are the? How would they even classify it?
Oh, and I wonder how far down did McGregor have to go weight-wise for the boxing? I think he had to go down to like 147.5 or
something
148,
like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
You know what I mean? Because, like, would it influence? Like, we're just bringing in this boxer. Like, how would that influence the standing? That'd be
well, they. Well, obviously, Dana just doesn't give a shit about any of that. They just want to make money. And, you know, and I've always agreed with Dana. Like, my buddy Chris David at work, he'll always point out to me, you know, how UFC's struggling, this and that. You know, like, when Anderson Silva retired, GSP was on hiatus, you know, all that. But then Conor and Rousey came along. But then Rousey took off. Conor went and did the boxing. And I've never really, like, worried about the UFC. I've just always thought, look, new stars are going to pop up. Like, I never thought that I would like the UFC 10 years ago.
Right.
And I came to love it. I mean, I would hear people that I liked and respected talk about how, like Greg Doyle, for instance, who used to be with CBS Sports. He's with the Indianapolis Star now.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always talk about how, you know, and he loves basketball and football and knows his shit. Like, and he would talk about how he wants it to be the greatest sport ever when it was really taking off. And I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? But then I started liking it, and I kind of started agreeing with Dana's thought process that, look, the UFC is just always going to be building new stars. There's, you know, athletes from all over the world getting into the sport, but I am starting to worry, man. These new owners have gotten bad break after bad break. I mean, I'm sure you know how Holloway got hurt, and Frankie and Holloway aren't fighting.
Right.
I mean, they were about to have to cancel a pay-per-view for the first Only second time ever. And the first time since Jones pussed out with Chael.
Right. Right.
And Chael went on SportsCenter and goes, I don't know what he's doing next Friday night. I he
you
might
sound just like
he
him.
Goes, he might have a wine tasting or something. And he also said on SportsCenter that day when they were interviewing, he said he got a call from Dana and goes, hey, do you want to fight John Jones next Saturday night? And I think it was on like a Thursday or Friday, like eight mm-hmm. or 9 days before or whatever. And he goes, I'll be on the next plane to Las Vegas. I'll fight him in a fucking cage tonight. Chael. God, I love that guy.
Yeah. I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, you know, but they just had the lowest ratings ever of a UFC on Fox the night that Jacare head kicked. Was it Derek Brunson? Yeah, it was Derek Brunson. In Charlotte, and I won on that.
I think the thing is, too, it's almost too, they've, like, I don't want to say watered it down, but there's so many events.
Right.
That, like, the lulls are going to be way, the dips are going to go way further down, and then you're going to have, like, three or four events where nobody really cares because you're waiting for the star to come out.
Yeah. I love the high-volume cards. When football and basketball are over.
Like, right, yeah, no.
Because it is the only thing I bet on during the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, that is it. I mean, or maybe a little NBA.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. But I wish they would just have them every week in the summer and chill a little bit during the fall.
Yeah.
But
put an official request. Call up Dana. Let him know.
I will. I will. So they save UFC 222 because they got Cyborg doing a short notice fight with some chick I've never heard of. Who's moving up from bantamweight to 145 to fight Cyborg. And then they made Frankie and Ortega the co-main. It's not going to be for a belt. And odds are not out. Well, I saw a report that Bovada made Cyborg 10-1. I mean, so now she is now... Well, she wasn't for home. I think she was only like minus 350 or-ish for home. But Holly, that is, obviously. But
right.
Basically, Cyborg is now in that where Anderson Silva was at times, where Ronda Rousey was at times,
right.
Where no, Brock Lesnar never got that hot. But I mean, did John Jones have some fight? I wonder what he was against OSP. I bet he was like minus 600 or something against.
Has she just like has Cyborg just pumped her body full of steroids like when not fighting? Because
she's tested positive a few times.
Because I was just looking at pictures of her when she was younger, and she does not look the way she does now.
Oh, really?
No.
I don't know that I want to look at any pictures of Cyborg.
I mean, you look at her and you're like, obviously. Here, I mean, she's never been a beauty, don't get me wrong, but
right,
like.
Her skin is clear.
Yeah, and like, she doesn't look like. Yeah. I don't know. It's different.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, Cyborg. Continue on.
Yeah, Frankie and Ortega, that's an interesting fight. Very interesting fight. And I love how Frankie was just like, let's save 222. I mean, he's risking his spot at the title, you know, getting a title shot. Ortega's going to get it instead of him if he loses. But Frankie's not only, he's like, I'll fight anybody, any weight class.
Right.
Just throwing that. Anybody, any weight class. I mean, that's something like Chael or Cowboy would do. And by the way, Cowboy... it will headline UFC Fight Night 126 in Austin, February 18th, and he is a minus 145 favorite against Yancy Medeiros. The Black Beast, Derek Lewis, is a short underdog in the co-main event of that. UFC Orlando, Jeremy Stevens is minus 145 against Josh Emmett. All right, this weekend, 221, Romero Rockhold. I don't know that I've ever seen a pay-per-view card. And again, now, I don't ever claim to be Mr. UFC expert. I recognize, I mean, obviously I know Ross Pearson. Obviously I know Curtis Blaydes. I've watched Mark Hunt fight a dozen times. Watched Romero and Rockhold a lot.
Right.
But Cyril Asker, not familiar. Ty Tuivasa, or how, I don't know, I'm just completely messing up those pronunciations. I mean, I never heard of half these guys. Now, I know it's over in Australia, so I'm sure some of these guys are New Zealanders or
right.
Australia. There's probably a couple making their debut. But, I mean, seriously, this is a pay-per-view card, And there's only two fights where I've seen both fighters. I mean, really? That is just, that's nuts.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's too watered down. There's too many.
Yeah, no doubt. No, there's no question about it. I mean, when Fabricio is headlining a card against Alexander Volkov, which he is March 17th, that's wild. God, I can't wait for Khabib and Ferguson. Oh, he also said that it would be possible for Brock Lesnar to come back next year. So UFC 200, when he would have gotten that 1 year suspension, that was June or July of 16, right? So yeah, I guess I don't ever even remember him having a hearing in front of the commission, but whatever. All right, hey, some injuries for tonight. All right, well, the Louisville game will be gone, but their big man's out tonight against Georgia Tech. And by the way, Josh Pastner, if you remember reading back when the season started, he had these allegations that were made. I think it was Gary Parrish, GP. I think it was he that published the story. There's an old friend of his. They were on the outs, and then he was outing him for doing this kind of cheating recruiting-wise, this, that. There's a defamation suit by Pastner. Now there's a countersuit, and there's a female accusing him of sexual assault, of masturbating in front of her and making her watch on her shirt, all this and that. So Pastner's got all kind of BS he's dealing with. I don't mean to say BS. Issues.
Right.
I don't know who's full of it on that deal. Harrison Barnes is out for the Mavs tonight against Golden State. Kevin Durant's probable. A lot of Saturday games. So let's talk some Saturday college hoops. Or tomorrow first. We got Princeton at Harvard, 7 p.m. ESPNU. We got Davidson at Rhode Island, ESPN2. I'm in the middle writing my preview for this. It'll be on Vegas Insider late tonight or tomorrow. Minnesota at Indiana, FS1, 7:30 p.m. Friday night. Like I said, Richard Pitino is going to get fired. Minnesota, still no Amir Coffey. Lynch, suspended. I think Indiana will be favored by, 4.5 to 5.5 probably. Harvard screwed me. Blew a 9-point lead last Friday night. Ended up losing outright. Not happy with him. Bryce Aiken, one of their best players. I think he's our leading scorer. He's doubtful. Davidson's on fire now. They've won 8 of 10. And Rhode Island is obviously undefeated in the A-10. I'm thinking, or actually the line is out. I think it was Rhode Island was like 6 or 6.5. Oh, and yeah, so I can look and see what Minnesota-Indiana is right now. Yeah, I'm going to say Indiana is going to be at least 5. Let's see. Come on. All right, here we go. 7. 145 for a total. All right, Saturday, Butler at Villanova. Villanova in bounce back mode. I'm going to say Villanova 10-ish. Florida at South Carolina. Man, the Gamecocks are just a bad matchup for my Gators. Silva just crushed them inside the first meeting. I'm not looking at it right now. I want to say he had 26 points and 10 to 12 boards. It doesn't look like Igbunu is going to be back anytime soon. And now it's almost panic button with that February 8th. Because I mean, if he's not giving you, full contact practice and at least, getting into a game for 3 to 5 minutes to just shake the rust off a little bit. I mean, he's not going to be ready by March. And, without a big man, look, Florida and Nevada are very similar. I think Florida and Nevada can beat anybody on any given night if they shoot 50% from three, and they do have the shooters where they can do that. Oh, and by the way, when I was doing the preview on Davidson earlier, they've got 7 guys that shoot 40% from three. 7. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
7 guys on your team shoot 40% from three? Holy smokes. So Florida at South Carolina, I'm thinking pick 'em-ish. I could see Florida being a short favorite, but because I know South Carolina is a bad matchup for us, I'm going to say South Carolina 1.5 or 2. Gators stopped the bleeding last night. Jalen Hudson had a big game. 18 points, I believe it was. I think he had 9 boards. He even had some assists. I want to say he had 4 assists. They push past LSU 73-64 as a 9-point favorite. The other top 10 teams going down last night. This is a comfortable silence, Harbor.
Comfortable.
Yeah,
comfortable.
This is completely comfortable silence. Because I know where my notes are that I want to use right now. Or maybe I don't. Now it's becoming uncomfortable. Damn it.
And we're back.
Kata Bates Diop, right? He had a putback last night. Purdue's record, school record winning streak. What was it? I think it was 20 games. It's over. Now, they got a good look. They got the tip in with, I want to say, 2.8 or 2.4 seconds left. Purdue calls timeout. They throw a length of the court pass. Haas, the 7'2 center from Alabama, makes the catch. I think he had a time to dribble or maybe even do a little fake and got a good look at it. He was just off the mark, about a 10, 12 footer. But, I mean, 2. Whatever seconds and change. You got to throw it the length of the court. If you can get a 12-footer, you'll take that all day. But he missed. So Ohio State wins. I don't know what the money line was there. It was probably plus 400, I would guess. St. John's. Here, I got to look up what that money line was because that was had to be a like 8-1 payout, I would think. And I'm trying to think, who was the other?
We have Michigan State and Purdue on Saturday, too.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, let's see. Where's the Johnnies? That's a big win for Marquette last night as well at Seton Hall. St. Bonaventure, can't have any bad losses. They cover. Beat St. Louis at home. Maryland, man, they're in trouble. They're in deep trouble. They lose at Penn State last night. And FSU had a 10-point lead on Virginia last night, but Virginia rallies. I was almost going to go to that game, but ended up not doing so. Okay, here's the line movement for St. John's and Villanova. Let's see. Who had a money line? Huh. Not many books had a money line. I don't blame them. Okay, here we go. Plus 1250. Holy smokes. So if you risked 100 on St. John's to win outright at the South Point last night, you won $1,250, 12 and a half times what you risked. Oh, wow. It was even bigger at, where's that? William Hill had it 15-1. The win did not offer one. So,
in case you're wondering, right now the odds for the men's Canadian curling team is, -150.
I didn't know that the Winter Olympics have really started.
I don't think they've opened yet.
Okay.
No.
I like pay no attention to the Olympics ever.
Even the Summer Games?
No, never.
They're kind of fun.
Right? Okay. Okay. Is curling? That's not what Herschel Walker did. He did bobsledding, I think.
Yeah, curling's where you like you push the big stone out and they're sweeping.
Yeah. I've seen it. It's very world class.
Super exciting.
World class athleticism going on there. All right, Northwestern at Maryland. All right, I heard Chris Collins' post gamer the other night after the big win over the Maize and Blue. And look, Chris, I hear you, buddy. I hear you. Big win. Talking up your team. I'm sure you're taking some shots at some Chicago columnists in that presser that had been burying your team. But look, I forget what their record is. I could look it up, but it's whatever. They're not making the tournament. They're not even close to being on the bubble, Chris. So, sorry, bud. No, not happening for Northwestern. Had a great year last year. So Virginia comes back. They beat, not only they beat FSU in the cover, they hit my under. And lost Georgia. A Georgia game finally goes over. Under had been on a 10-1 run. The only over that double overtime game against Arkansas I've been bitching about for weeks. Had Wyoming, Allen Edwards from Miami Senior High School and Kentucky. Allen Edwards' team wins 83-65 over Utah State. I couldn't believe they were laying such a small number. Creighton had to rally in Chicago to beat DePaul. Lieto, whatever the hell that coach's name, he's going to get canned too. Mark Fox is going to get canned. I'm very interested. Who would Georgia go after? You know, Georgia can't just go. I mean, look, it's an SEC job. I get it, but it's not SEC football. And look, Stephen Coliseum is a dump. I mean, I've been there. I've been there for six or seven games when I lived in Atlanta. It's a dump. I don't know when that building was built. I would guess the 70s. If you get a second Harbaugh, will you look up Stegman Coliseum in Athens, see when it's built? I'm going to say the over under 73. I wasn't even alive in 73. I mean, they need a new arena. I don't know about their practice facility. But, I mean, great recruiting grounds. I mean, you're 66 miles from Atlanta, but...
Opened in 64.
Whoa, it's even... Wow! Good gracious. They have got to get a new building, man.
Yeah, that's old.
That's really old. Okay, I do have Ohio State's money line right here. Let's see what it is or what it was last night. Oh, it was only plus 450. Only. That'd be a nice payday. Plus 450 in that win over Purdue. Oh, and the other top 10 to lose was Auburn. A&M. Dwayne Wilson got a blocking call. That was another one with like 2.8. Actually, I think they put more time back on. I think it was 3.5. And they got a good look. Mustafa Heron had about a 38-footer or about right about the timeline, and it was just off that would have won. But A&M wins. They've won three in a row now. And here come the kitty cats to College Station with Texas A&M right and Tennessee with a great comeback win at Rupp the other night. And Kentucky is now struggling. I'm sure Jim Rohde is just absolutely beside himself. And look, if I'm a Kentucky fan, I'm sick of this freshman bullshit. Really? I mean, every year you got to just deal with these freshmen that just don't know how to play basketball yet. And you're immensely talented. You got great size, great speed, et cetera, et cetera.
And then they all leave.
Right, and then they all leave. I mean, like, how do you remember these guys' names 7 years later when they're only – I mean, it's hard enough to – you know, remember a guy that sticks around 2 or 3 years, 10 years later. The one and done's, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I get it that the program attracts all those people, but, like, it's hard to build a team, really.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Florida, Danelle Harvey was one and done. Was Bradley Beal one and done? Or two and, yeah, I think he was one and done. I think those are our only two that were one and done. And then... well, here's Kwame Brown. Never made it.
Who's the guy who I just saw the video earlier? I didn't catch his name. You know where everybody's picking the colleges, and he puts on the Gator hat, and his mama walks out the room.
Yeah. I was told she came back though.
Oh, she did. Yeah. Okay.
You know, we had a kid like that 3 or 4 years ago too. It was from Louisiana, and his mom was wearing LSU, and she did this very similar thing. God, who was that?
I'm gonna look him up.
I can't remember, but I want to say yesterday I was either like Watkins or Crawford. Anyway, I'm not a big recruiting guy, so I'm not as on top of that as I should be. Oh, by the way, Loyola Chicago.
Jacob Copeland.
Copeland, that's right. Loyola Chicago, they're cashing a lot of tickets. They cashed for me last night. I'm hoping Montana does the same thing. Another, you know, mid-major to watch. Loyola Chicago actually leads the Missouri Valley, which doesn't have Wichita State anymore, but still a pretty decent mid-major league. UNLV handed Nevada its second conference loss last night as an 11.5. Eight-point dog. There were a lot of money line dogs cashing last night. Cal gave Colorado fits last night. Colorado did win. But Nevada now falls behind Boise State by a half game. And NC State's right there on the bubble. But they lost in Blacksburg to Buzz Williams and company last night. All right, let's take a break. Games galore, 33. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more hoops, some more NBA, some more UFC, etc. And don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Games Galore 33. Harbo and I. Okay, so George Hill is the guy I was forgetting that Cleveland got in return for all these guys. So they added George Hill. They added Rodney Hood. So Joe Johnson gets traded to Sacramento, but is going to get a buyout. So he'll basically become a free agent. Wouldn't be shocked if he ends up. But they're actually, Joe Johnson's a very good defender. My point being, you got to get the chemistry right here. You can't just have, now George Hill's an excellent defender and just a quality veteran who's been on a lot of good teams. Okay. Oh, and they got rid of Derrick Rose, which, duh. God, he's awful. Apparently the Timberwolves are interested in signing him because Utah is going to release him. Duh, who in the world wants to? Okay, here is the complete breakdown that I've been looking for. Here's who is out in Cleveland. Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Jay Crowder, Iman Shumpert, Channing Frye, and their own first rounder. Not the one that they have from the Nets, I guess, which is like going to be top three, probably. Now they get back Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, George Hill, Rodney Hood, a heavily protected future second. I mean, I really don't like what they did all that much. I like George Hill. He can be your starting point guard rather than Isaiah or D. Rose. I do like that. Hood is a guy who can get you some buckets for sure, whether you want to bring him off the bench or start him, whatever. They kept J.R. Smith. Man, I really hadn't watched much Lakers the last couple of years. So I mean, Larry Nance Jr., obviously he played for my guy Shiat, at Wyoming and had an outstanding college career. I watched him in college quite a bit, but I haven't really watched him in the NBA. So Shumpert went to the Kings and Crowder and Rose went to Utah, but Rose is going to get released. Well, Utah will keep Crowder. Surely. I mean, Crowder's a solid player. I don't really know why that didn't work. And maybe LeBron is even more of a diva than I've been calling him for years. Okay. So if T. Wood and Nate did fight, don't you think that Woodley would destroy him?
I think so.
Absolutely. I can't. I mean, I don't even, I guess Nate just wants some money, but Nate, that's not a good matchup for Nate.
No.
He wants Connor is who he wants. That's who he wants. And
I don't see that happening.
Well, not if we're working on McGregor now. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Mayweather again. Yeah, so. Let's go back to some Saturday college hoops.
What do we got lined up? Pew, pew,
pew. Let me find my. Is this it? No.
Who do you see as the victor for Michigan State and Purdue?
Where's it at?
I don't know.
Here, I'm looking for it on the. You sure that one's not Sunday? Yeah. Oh, no, here it is. Yeah. ESPN, 4 o'clock Saturday, Purdue at Michigan State. I think Michigan State will be favored by 2.5. It's a toss-up game in my mind. Toss-up game. FSU at Notre Dame. I wonder when Colson's going to be back. I don't think he's going to be back till later this month. Auburn at Georgia. Okay, here's your save your season, save your coach's job game. I guess if Georgia were to get a win here, let's see who else Georgia has coming down the stretch because, I mean, right now they're in dire straits. Okay, they're 4-7 in the SEC. And they're 13-10 overall, but they do have a good non-conference resume. It helps them when Marquette does well. Marquette won at Seton Hall because Georgia won at Marquette. Georgia also won at St. Mary's. Or, I'm sorry, they beat St. Mary's out in California. I want to say they played in Fullerton. Okay, Georgia's got down the stretch. Well, they've got plenty of chances to get quality wins. They have at Florida on Valentine's Day. They have Tennessee at Stegman. They have at South Carolina. They have LSU at home. They have Texas A&M at home. And they have at Tennessee. So, Georgia's got their chances. Let's say they beat Auburn at home, which they could do. If Turtle Jackson will play well and Juwan Parker play well behind Maiden and Ogbeke, or however the hell you pronounce it, dominates the boards and blocks a few shots. But let's say they beat Auburn and go to 14-10, 5-7 SEC. Let's say they beat Florida, 15-10, 6-7 SEC. Let's say they split with Tennessee, so that would make 16-11 and 7-8. Yeah, and then you've got LSU at home; they can win to be 17-11, 8-8. And then let's say they split at South Carolina and Texas A&M at home. That's 18-12, 9-9, going to the SEC tournament. And if they win two games, if they get the SEC tournament semifinals, they'd probably be in. So it's not over yet for Mark Fox, but it is not looking good at all. Okay, Nebraska, 13-1 against the spread, last 14, just freaking crushing it. Tim Miles has saved his job. They were in Lunardi's, and let's go to Lunardi's latest Joey Brackets of ESPN.com. He updated his bracketology this morning. And again, I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all, but he's pretty good. And he's got it nice and organized on this page for us. So his last four byes, which means you don't have to go to Dayton to play in the first four. That's Arkansas. That's Providence. That's Virginia Tech, and that's K-State. K-State win at Texas a couple nights ago? I think they did. Or at least covered here. I need to know that. Because I almost played them plus five, but I did not. K-State. They did win at Texas. They sure did. And they're 17-7. And they are, like I said, a part of the last four byes. Okay, so the last four in, these four teams would play each other, or two, would obviously, in Dayton in the first four on the Tuesday and Wednesday before the tournament. They are Washington, NC State, Houston, and Southern Cal. You know, Houston's got a big game tonight at SMU at home. They catch a break because Shake Milton is out for the Mustangs indefinitely. With a hand injury. Lunardi's first four out. Syracuse, big win for the Cuse Monday at Louisville. First four out, Marquette working its way up after that big win at Seton Hall last night. UCLA, big, big game tonight at Arizona. 9-point dog. Nebraska, they've got Rutgers at home. They might be a double-digit favorite. If they're a double-digit favorite, Saturday, 4 o'clock, I think it's Big Ten Network. Jump off the Nebraska train. You don't want to lay double digits. Rutgers is sneaky decent at times. They played Purdue to a 2-point game at the rack a couple weeks ago. They took Sparty to overtime at the Breslin Center in East Lansing, obviously, last month. Next four out, St. Bonaventure, which won and covered last night. Temple. Georgia needs Temple to play well also because they have a quality non-conference win over Temple. Western Kentucky and SMU. And, yeah, like I said, Shake Milton is out. That hurts SMU big time. For all you Gators out there listening to the Games Galore pod, Lunardi has us at 7 this week. We would play Providence, a 10 seed, in Charlotte, and would get the Duke Penn 215 winner, which would obviously be a rematch of Florida Duke at the PK 80 Invitational over Thanksgiving, where Florida I want to say we led by as many as, I think, 17 and blew a 10-point lead with four minutes left. We played Duke once in the tournament and smashed them at the Carrier Dome, where the Gators are 4-0 all-time in the tournament, with wins over NC State, Moton and Maxwell, and a win over Purdue in the second round of the 87 tournament. And then in the Sweet 16, a win over top seed of Duke, Chris Carwell, crybaby game with Coach K. And then we sent Gottlieb into retirement and smashed Eddie Sutton at Oak State 2 days later at the Carrier Dome. Other SEC teams, and man, Tennessee is looking really good. Really, really good. And you know, I mentioned Florida and Nevada because I don't think Nevada has a scholarship player that's over 6'7". And, you know, Kavarius Hayes is 6'9". That's Florida's tallest player without Igbunu. But Florida and Nevada could be one and done, and they could lose to anybody because you live and die by the three, or just, you know, perimeter jumpers in general. You're going to die more often than you live. But when you have the shooters Nevada and Florida have, when you're rolling, you could beat anybody. And should Florida and Nevada stay in that 7-9 seed range, that those are dangerous teams for a 1 or 2 to play in the round of 32. So Lunardi has Tennessee as a 3 seed right now, would play Bucknell in Pittsburgh. I believe he had Auburn as a 3 seed as well. Yeah, Auburn would play Charleston and Dallas as a 3 seed and would get the Creighton, New Mexico State winner. Arkansas would be a 10 seed against Seton Hall in Motown. Clemson would be a 3 seed against Montana, a 14 seed, and the Grizzlies will be a very tough out. Vermont will be a tough out as well. Vermont has a lined game tonight at Albany. Actually, it's tipping like right now, so never mind. FSU-Bama would be an 8-9 game, and the winner would be a tough matchup for Villanova in the East region. Missouri would be an 8 seed against Arizona State. And so right now Lunardi has 9 ACC teams, 8 SEC teams, 7 Big 12 teams, 6 Big East teams. Okay, let me just peruse the sports websites and see if there's any top. Who you got, Rockhold or Romero, man?
I think Rockhold.
I don't know, man. I
I'm
mean,
putting money on it, but
Yeah, you know, Romero, age has got to catch up with him one day. I mean, he's like 40.
Right.
But, man, I didn't think Rockhold looked that sharp against Branch. Branch caught him with a couple shots. You know, the only fight he's had since the Bisping fight.
Right.
He just did not look. He didn't look as fast. He didn't look. I don't know. He just did not look like the just scary dude that
he once just was.
That smashed at the time an undefeated Chris Weidman.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So Dana is really getting on Mario Yamasaki, the ref, who, like, he didn't stop the fight with Valentina the other night, even though she landed like 200 and something significant strikes to one.
Right.
And he went on, I guess it was Helwani's MMA hour.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I was giving her a chance to be a warrior. I mean, are you fitting a referee if you're giving a chick a chance to be a warrior when she's just getting smashed and taking damage? She's not going to rally. I mean, call the fight, you moron.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird response.
Yeah, and so did you watch the Anders Lyoto fight the other night?
I did not.
Okay, I got home. I had some beers, and I watched the fourth and fifth. And then before the Super Bowl the next day, I soberly watched the first through the third. I gave Machida the first round. I gave Anders the second and the third. And then I don't remember the fourth and fifth well enough. I got to go back and watch it sober. But Machida won a split decision. So the Anders hype train temporarily comes to a halt. I'm wondering what Frankie and Ortega's odds are going to be. Frankie's got to be the favorite, I would think. I think Frankie wins that fight. But, you know, Father Time's going to get him at some point, too. I think he's 36. But, man, Frankie's just always in shape.
What do you think about Emmett and Stevens?
I mean, that was a pretty wicked knockout Emmett had. I'd never seen him fight.
Right.
Who the hell did he knock out a couple weeks ago? Somebody pretty... Oh, it was Lamas, Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was... I mean, he's a perennial top five guy in that division. But, man, Stevens is a savage, dude. I got to go with Stevens.
The little heathen.
Little heathen. I may go... How... That's... Oh, gosh. That's only...
February
24th. It's like 2 weeks from now. Well, probably not going to go to that. I wonder... Oh, well, I wonder if the Gators play like that afternoon at home.
I wonder how much tickets are.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much. All right, let me hit the Twitter real quick, see what's trending.
I'm looking up tickets.
Bob Davey. See, I just...
Just got to get some dirt on that whore and then...
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so bad. And he better not get hired back by ESPN. He better not. Better not.
I don't think they would do that.
Surely not. Or at least not for a year or two.
Right.
I mean, they got to get rid of... Somebody hired Dan Dockich. Basketball is even worse than football, man. Because you have to, you know... Football is just once a week. I mean,
right?
You, I mean, I've had to listen to Dickie V like three times in the last week. And look, I used to be Dickie V's biggest fan. I used to love Dickie V. I cannot deal with him anymore. Okay, first off, all the yapping, and then second off, just all the, you know, pole smoking of these coaches. All these coaches that everybody knows cheats, and like he said on the air, I think I might have bitched about this last week. He said on the air. Oh, I know I bitched about it last week, so I shouldn't repeat myself, but I will.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, he said, he said, I was at dinner with Rick Pitino the other night, and he told me this, and I'm just like, we don't give a, Rick Pitino? We don't give
Nobody
a
cares.
Shit. Dickie V, you dumbass. Ugh, brutal. Okay. Oh, there were some other NBA injuries. I said Harrison Barnes is out late night at Golden State. Durant is probable. All right. Yeah, Shake Milton out indefinitely with the hand injury, like I mentioned. UC Santa Barbara has suspended Jalen Canty, averages 12.9 points, 7.8 boards, a pair of block shots per game. What else? I thought I had more injury info in there yesterday. Yeah, those are all games from last night, though. All right, what else we got, Harbo? Anything?
Nothing I can think of right now, man.
I know you're busy, so I'm going to let you get to work. Next week, folks, we will have guests, and we will have a full show. Busy week this week.
Anybody in particular we're bringing on next week?
We got to get somebody to talk some hoops with us. And, gotcha. And we probably need a Jay Greason sighting, another one.
That sounds pretty good.
I read his column today. He had a good column today. He was basically calling LeBron a diva as well.
He's always entertaining.
He is always entertaining. So thanks for listening. Sorry for the short show. Sorry for no guest. Hope you enjoyed it. Games of Lore 33 in the books. Follow me on Twitter at Vegas B. Edwards. Follow Sunset Pictures. .com on Instagram. There you go. and that'll do it. Over and out.